The feminist movement in Mexico has been gaining traction in recent years. After several high-profile, gender-based killings put a spotlight on a system of inequality and patriarchal domination. There are estimates that approximately 10 women die by femicide each day, and these crimes go mostly unpunished. I sat down with two outstanding activists, feminists, and sex therapists from Mexico to talk about how a culture of machismo continued to reinforce the prevalence of gender-based violence, incest, abortion access, LGBTQ hate crimes, and not surprisingly, sexual concerns. Please welcome Dr. Selfa Gonzalez Gomar Mentesano and Dr. Maria Dolores Martinez Stanis to get some.
The kind of problems I see in my private practice are mostly women who are suffering in their couples because of the gender violence. We don't have many equality. Most of the people that come with me are women, girls or teenagers. And it's not because I don't want to work with the men. It's because they don't come very often, because they think also that's a woman matter. All the emotional work, all the personal development, it is more considered as a feminist work. So this is changing in the last years in Mexico. We have every year more men that want to be involved, but it's not very easy. They feel it's not very masculine, to cry, to talk about emotions. And
Lourdes, would you say that it's quite similar in your practice as well?
The men that comes mostly are for sex therapy.
Yeah.
When they come is because they have sexual dysfunction and they are crazy to get a cure because they think that they might lose their couple. They are ashamed. They feel like it is the end of the world. Because they have a sexual dysfunction. I have a couple and he came to tell me that he needed support because he just got married after 4 years and he couldn't make love because he couldn't have an erection. And he thought that it was going to be the end of the marriage. Mm. And he was very upset with the couple because she spent more money in the wedding than the one he wills to do. So he had this discomfort and he could not talk with her about it.
Yeah,
it was a lot of pressure for him.
Yeah, in Mexico, we have a very interesting thing about the culture and the way it's reflected in the sexuality. Mm-hmm. The way we construct our relationships between men and women, right, Lourdes?
Yes.
And I imagine to be a man also means to have a hard penis whenever it's necessary. I could see how it would be terrifying, right? Because there's not a whole lot of understanding around their own feelings and emotions and anxieties and how much that plays into it.
I think that it is because they see themselves in separate ways. Like if the genitals are receiving an order from the brain, but they do not care about the emotions that they have. I had this couple also that he didn't want to have sex with her because she wanted to use bondage and he wasn't aware that he didn't want to do it. He was scared, something that he thought it could be not only dangerous, but like a sin for him. Mm-hmm.
Right. I have a lot of women that struggle because their partner can't get an erection. And they feel that it has something to do with them. Women also believe these stereotypes. And if a man doesn't get an erection, because he should always have a really hard erection, that it must mean that they're not attracted to them.
Yes. There are lots of expectations about it. Woman, we have to have some a kind of body, skinny, and we have to be young and also pretty and also
in good mood.
yeah, because we are responsible. Women, we are responsible about maintaining relationships. Yes. We are responsible of the emotional part in the relationship. We are responsible of almost everything.
Yeah.
So, and we believe it. And we believe it. And we feel responsible also of the men attitudes when nothing to do with us. So all the construction about romantic love, all the reconstruction and how the relationships in love has to be, those beliefs support a lot of violence in many relationships. We cannot leave that couple because what I'm going to do being single, it's a fracaso,
a failure
to be single.
Yes.
All all my value as a woman is because I have a man by my side, and all those beliefs are also our sexuality and our bodies and the way we feel as a woman too. Not only in Mexico, probably.
No, it's not.
It is sad, but it happens also that when a woman has breast cancer. But at a surgery, and they are going to lose the breast.
Yes.
Their couple leaves them. They do not want to live.
Because they've lost a breast.
Yes.
Hmm.
So they have a fear that in some of them it is confirmed.
It happened to
a woman that they know.
They know. There's evidence for them.
When women cannot have babies, and many men believe that a woman who is not able to give birth, a child, is not a woman at all. It's a very sad thing. And there are many women who doesn't want to be mother because they decided in a conscious way. I don't want to be a mother. And in Mexico, there is a very big problem about it, the obligation to be a mother. The abortion is not allowed. It's even a legal problem in Mexico. But in the most of the part of the country, it's a very big problem. You have, if you get pregnant, you have to be a mother. Because otherwise you go to the jail if you get an abortion in most part of Mexico. And it's a public health problem. It's very, very sad. Mexico is one of the first, the countries, number one in the world, with teenagers that are pregnant.
Wow.
They can't decide about their bodies, our bodies.
What is that like for the two of you? Your work is empowering women. How does that sit with you? How does that impact you, knowing that women don't have that choice?
Unless she had been raped. If the pregnancy is secondary to violation, they could get an abortion by law.
Yeah, I have worked with doctors, with the medical team, hospitals, and the medical response, they don't agree. Most of them, the response is the silence.
Yeah. How does that feel for you?
It's a very tough way. In myself, I do it because I have two daughters. I am a woman in Mexico too. So I think that's the only way we have to be working with men and women and kids and in sex education, because we have to change this. Every year there are more collectives and organizations that are working with these topics. Mm-hmm. And every year we have more and more women that mm-hmm. are facing and fighting for their rights, for women rights, and for gender violence in Mexico. So yeah. For me, this is my way of living now. It's not my job. It's my way of living.
Yes.
It's not only a job. For me, it's the way I relate with people.
It is a mission.
Yeah, I can imagine how stressful it is when you have two daughters of your own that could end up at some point in their life getting pregnant before they're ready to have a child. And you are advocating now, I think, so that when they're a little bit older, they'll be able to have a choice over their body.
Yeah, we hope someday we can win that fight in Mexico. I use the word fight, and probably it sounds like a very tough word, fight. But I think it's a tough way we choose as a woman in Mexico. And also, it's not only a job, it's not only a profession. We were saying that it's a way of living. It's the way of living we choose to have a better life for women in Mexico, for our daughters and granddaughters, probably.
Yeah.
So, and all women we knew and we didn't know. Yeah. We have a lot of kidnapped women in Mexico also. So it's a security matter. It's a mental health matter. It's a public health matter. It's not only a psychotherapist matter. Or actually, psychotherapy in Mexico, it's not for all the people. It's people who have money that can pay for it. We have a mental health service in a public hospitals, in a public institute, but there's many people that are looking forward the service, and few professionists giving the service. So for me, the activism, to be involved in these matters, it's a thing I must do. So it's very, very important.
Yeah, it's very similar here, actually, in Canada. It's a privilege to be able to afford mm-hmm. therapy is a privilege. Yes, yeah. There are some services where you can get it and it's covered by the government or by the healthcare system. But the wait list is very long for people to actually see somebody.
Yeah, same like you.
Yeah. Tell me a little bit about how gender-based violence, fear of pregnancy, how does that impact how women are able to think about sex as being pleasurable versus being scary?
Mm-hmm. Well, I think that half of the women in this country could be in that place to think pleasure. Most of the time, they have to agree to the things that the couple asked for them, but they do not have the empowerment to ask for the intercourse when they liked it or the way they liked it, mm-hmm. or with the contraceptive that they need so they avoid a pregnancy. And some of them discover that there is another way of living this. Some of them think that it is too late. So it is very sad. It's mm-hmm. very sad to listen to what they think that they need so they could be all right. They are there, but not because of a pleasure, because of economic issue, because of a kids.
Yeah, so something very important is that in Mexico, in a symbolic way, we are not the owners of our bodies. The state is owner of our bodies. The men are the owners of our lives and bodies, like a property of men. And probably you are going to say, like, why in Mexico? Why in the modern Mexico? Yeah, in a symbolic way, you know, in our unconscious, in our language, in our jokes, in the way we dress. Do you know what I mean? Not because they put a burqa on us. No, it's a symbolic thing. The matter that we cannot access to an abortion, a legal abortion. Imagine that. We cannot, many women that are in marriage mm-hmm. can't go to a pharmacy to buy pills to not get pregnant because the husband is going to get angry. You know what I mean? I mean, it's also the pleasure. We don't have sex education for pleasure. We have sex education about the physical parts. Yeah. We have sex education about how the pregnancy,
the reproductive
goes. Yeah. But we don't have gender education. We don't talk about sex diversity in sex education because we live in a lesbophobic country. Do you imagine this is the Catholic place after the Vatican? This is the second most Catholic place in the world. Yes. Imagine. I live in Canada when I was a child, and I remember, like, all the respect you have. I know you also have problems in Canada, social problems, but imagine how Catholicism is the influence about, and I'm not against the religion, but I see this in the pleasure. Imagine we don't have education for the pleasure. And it's a masculine, something that the men can get because they are allowed. They are not allowed to feel, but they are allowed to have the pleasure. And women, we are allowed to feel, but we are not allowed to get the pleasure, to have the pleasure, to get, make the pleasure our pleasure. As a selfish woman or as a woman that is not, we use a lot of despective words for women who get pleasure. But we are changing this
little by little.
What is it like for the LGBTQ community? Is it necessary for them to hide their identity for their safety?
Mostly they are hiding it. The ones that can leave it, they do not talk about it. The ones that have been suffered the abuse, they look for support and they go to the non-govern associations so they can have the support that they need. And there are some collectives that has a lot of job to do. Mm-hmm. We are more close to this community because of the work we do.
Many, many psychologists or psychotherapists, they do a thing that in Spanish we call ecosig, and that it's the conversion therapy. Mm. And it's illegal because it's against the human rights. But many, many psychologists, we don't talk about this in universities. We don't talk about this in formal education for psychologists. Yeah. So this is, the books we read are from the 70s, from the 60s.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Right? Like, sex is not just about making babies.
Mm-hmm.
It's about pleasure. It's about consent. It's about
the identity.
It's such a need for our kids to, because that's where it starts, right? In the education.
Yeah, and also it's a right. It's a need and it's a right. It's a childhood right. They have the right to get an integral sex education without religion.
Yeah,
it's a right. But yeah. we are also pushing from the activism, from the all the collectives, to get sex education for kids in public and in public and also in private schools. But it's, we fight against the religion also, because religion stops. And the problem is that the religion it's inside the state. Mm-hmm. I mean, all the laws are stopped because in the government are people who are very conservative. So, It is like stopping all the development we can do about this.
Yeah. We had talked about the problem of incest in Mexico. And I wanted for you to help us understand, to help me understand, how is it not illegal? Why do you think that is prevalent, so prevalent as it is?
Well, I think it is because it is a tradition that they have learned and they repeat without asking. It's like the privilege to do what they want to do, to feel or think that the woman could be affordable, that they can get them as an object and you don't have to ask for consent.
And the girls, not only the women, the girls.
Or they have been abused as child and they think that their own child has to go through the same. Because I have this patient that his dad take her and leave her with her grandpa. And she asked not to stay there at night, and he didn't care, and she cried a lot, but he had to go and stay there for the weekend, and then being picked up and taking her back to her home, and she couldn't avoid it. So I think that maybe her dad was being abused. So he could think that it is normal and people have to suffer. But I don't know why do they keep repeating it.
And also we have a whole culture that supports the child abuse, the woman abuse, the incest. We have a culture of incest in Mexico because women are property of men. And because all the privilege that men have in Mexico and the culture that supports this. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's part of the family culture, the child abuse. It's very, very, very tough because it's not an individual problem. It's a social problem. Did you know that Mexico is the first place in the world of child abuse? In this time, and they don't want sex education in the schools because they think that we're going to corrupt the kids. Like talking about sex abuse, I think we should talk about sex abuse with the kids. I talk with my kids, my daughters, about sex abuse because it's a way of prevent It's a way to avoid. Yeah. It's a way to stop. And not only that, we have to push the laws. We have to work with men and women and teenagers and kids. And it's a lot of work to do because the incest, it's very, very common. It's not only the father, it's the grandfather, it's the uncle, it's the cousin, it's the brother. Oh my God. It's not only in a social, in one sector of social. It happens with, also with rich people too.
And if it were to happen to a child and they went to the police, how would something like that be handled?
Well, they have this, the DIF, that is an institution that keeps an eye on the things that relies on it. CIPINA, it is called. So they have like lawyers and therapists.
Social workers. Support.
Mm-hmm. And they have to investigate if it is true what that the child is saying, and they take him away from his family until they have the jury to decide if he had been abused or not, or if he could go back, or if there is somebody in the family that could take care.
Only 10% of the child abuse are denounced. Like you go and ask for help and you say what is happening. Most of the child abuse are
silence.
And many people in therapy, they come for other issues to talk other about other things. And after a time in therapy, most of the times the child abuse get out in therapy, but it's not the first reason for they come in therapy for. They come because they are depressed. They come because they are anxious. They come because they have job issues or couple issues. And then after months, we discover it.
Yes.
They have to feel first secure in the therapy space. Yeah. So they can talk about it. So this is how our experience in Mexico is.
Yes. You mentioned talking about sex with your kids and educating them about their bodies. And I was curious for the two of you, being such advocates for gender equality, what is that like within your family system and the people around you? Because the way that you live and how you think, it sounds like it goes against the majority.
Right. It means trouble. Well, with my couple, it has been a trouble to think different than him. But with my kids are grown up. One is 29 and the other one 23 and one of 19. And I think that they have grown with a different view and more free to express, to live, to do what they need to do what they want to. And it is difficult even with our friends. Some of them do not like when you talk about this.
We became a very uncomfortable people.
Right.
Sometimes they don't invite us to family parties. They stopped inviting me because I am a very uncomfortable person in some places, not in every place.
I think that I also lost my job when I was at the health institute because of this
support
way. Yeah, because of this way of preparing the people and educating the people that works in the system. And they were mad. They were, I don't know, discomfort.
Yeah. I was looking forward to open a master degree that I was going to coordinate, and the state didn't want us because all the things we are saying and doing, like they don't want this kind of discourses.
You say they want to they want to silence.
Yeah, of course. So the way we work is in the academic places. We work in clinical places. We also go to the street in the March, 8th of March. We go to the streets with many, many women. We also go now in June with all the communities of LGBTT we support. Well, that's the way we do. And we also connect with other people from other places in other states in Mexico. So we share our thoughts, our works. We don't work in individual. We work like making networking. Yeah.
Like you have a community of people. Yeah,
networking. And now with you in Canada, yes. That's fabulous. That's fantastic. Yeah.
Oh, you too. I so appreciate the time that you've taken. And I really do hope we stay in touch and somehow find ways to work together to build the community amongst sex therapists across the world, mm-hmm. to better understand where all of our challenges are and to just support each other.
Thank you very much, Michelle, yes. for inviting us. I am very glad to be with you, that Lourdes is here with me.
Yeah, we enjoyed it.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
To get in touch soon.
If you have a question, a confession, or an inspirational story, send me an email to the confession booth at michelle@getsome.ca. And you just might hear it on the air. I hope you enjoyed Get Some. If you'd like to listen to more episodes, subscribe to wherever you like to listen to podcasts. And until then, be kind to yourself, be curious, and when you're ready, your sexual journey will unfold.